This morning we're going to look at immeasurably more serving. And as I thought about that, I asked the question on Facebook last night, do you prefer being served or serving? And as a follow-up, I said, what would those that you spend the most time with say about your answer? It's easy for us to say, I love serving people, and the people around you say, no, you don't, because you don't do it. And sometimes we need that reality check. We need to ask those that are closest to us, how am I doing in what God says I ought to be doing, and even in what I say that I do? And so this morning, we're going to take a look at a few passages and look at some practical ideas on what the Bible says this idea of immeasurably more serving might look like. And it begins, and that's kind of the focus we've had through this series, it begins with prayer, it begins with time with God, it begins in that relationship with Him. And out of that relationship, we grow immeasurably in our love. And that was last week's message. And while we didn't gather here in person, I shared the message online. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, it's on our website, drcc.net. And so you can kind of catch up with the series if you missed that last week. But that immeasurably more love, we know it because God showed it to us. And while we don't do it perfectly because we live in this flesh and we're weak and temptation comes and life happens, we ought to continue to grow in that immeasurable love that God has shown us and He wants us to show the world. And so the question comes, if I'm involved in this greater prayer life and this greater connection with God through my communication with Him, and I'm learning to love like God loves, what does it look like? And I believe the answer to that is it looks like immeasurably more serving. Jesus said that He Himself, as God, did not come to be served, but to be a servant of all. And if our desire as Christians, if we want to wear that label, that title that says we're like Christ, then we ought to be willing to become servant of all just as He was. Now, I'm guessing if you would start to think about that, you could go down through a list of people that you know, a list of people that you interact with. Maybe not on a daily basis, but somewhat consistently. And you could probably say, I can serve these people. I get along with these people. These people are easy to serve. They appreciate when I help. But my guess is, there are people that you interact with on a somewhat consistent basis that, well, are difficult to serve. And you may try it, you may try to do something nice for them, you may try to serve in a way that's beneficial to them, and they don't appreciate it. And our human flesh says, well, if they don't appreciate it, then I'm not going to do it. And I wonder, if we could go back 2,000 some years, and as Jesus is hanging on the cross, having this conversation with the thieves that are there beside Him, and one of them would ask, well, this is a great thing you're doing. I bet everybody appreciates it. And He would have to say, well, no, they don't. That's why I'm here. In fact, they chose this murderous thief Barabbas to be released rather than me. And so we can't base our immeasurably more serving on the reactions of others. We base it on the goodness of God and our desire to display His goodness in our life. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 7, Peter writes and he says, the end of all things is near. Now, I suspect we hear that and we live in a world that we say, well, it sure looks like it. Every generation has really said that, and it just keeps getting worse and worse, and we continue to say, the end of all things is near. And guess what Peter says we ought to do? Because the end of all things is near, he says, therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled, not so that you can survive, but be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. So that you can talk to God, so that you can communicate with Him, so that you can listen to Him. The truth is, short of the return of Jesus to take us with Him in the air, none of us survive this life. It's the next life that's the eternal nature of life that we ought to be focused on. And so he says to be clear-minded so that we can pray. And above all, this is why we ought to be clear-minded and pray, so that we know how to do this next part. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Well, that's what keeps us from God. That's what keeps us from being qualified to enter into that life eternal, is our sin. And so because we recognize the end is near, we pray and we ask God's help to love deeply, so that sin doesn't not only separate us from one another, but more importantly, that sin does not separate us from God. And so many times we get this mindset that what's between you and me is different than what's between me and God. And God says they are very tightly related. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But we love deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. And this is what that looks like. He says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Oh, yeah, I can help out if I have to. Oh, they need that, I guess. If no one else will, I will. We're not so much opposed to offering hospitality when we have to. It's that without grumbling part that we kind of stumble over. Many of us. I know some of you are out here and that seems to be your spiritual gift to the utmost, is that hospitality, and you love it. I'm not wired that way. Hospitality is work, and God works through me to do that in some ways. But God says for all of us, not just those that are really good at it, not just those that really like it, but all of us offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, because we learn that we're family. Now, for those of you that have children that are up and grown and out of the house, if they just show up some weekend and you haven't seen them maybe for 3 months and they didn't tell you they were coming, I'm guessing that you're not locking the door and saying, sorry. Now, some of you might. I don't know your children, and I don't. But no, we offer hospitality and we welcome them in and say, boy, it is so good to see you. And that's part of our welcome home theme here at Deer Run. We want to be people that offer that hospitality as people come into our home. And we begin with our home here because it's somewhat easy, it's convenient for us, but we extend that to our homes where we live. And we do it without grumbling because we begin to recognize we enjoy being family. We enjoy not doing life alone. And so we offer that hospitality. He goes on and says each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If he serves, he should do it with the strength of God, so that In all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. God tells us, as we recognize the nearness of the end of all things, that we love one another deeply and we serve with the grace, the gift that God has given us. And so this morning we're going to focus in, we're going to use the word serve. I know it has five letters, but we'll try to keep moving. And we're going to talk about five things that you can do to serve others faithfully, to serve others immeasurably more. And the great thing about this is God uses us as a body, he uses us as a family, and we're not designed to each do the exact same thing. And so if your gift of serving is cooking and preparing meals and sharing that, that's a great thing. But if we all did that, then somebody's going to be flooded with food and not have other help that they might need. But some people, their gift is serving in the manner of shoveling snow and doing repairs and helping ways that is different than cooking a meal. But when we all work together, when we all use, God says, those gifts that he has given. The Bible says when the church was established, it was God himself that added to their number. He knew what that body of Christ needed. And so we have what we need to accomplish what he wants. It's simply a matter of us understanding it and doing it and working together. And so as we look at this idea of what does it look like to serve immeasurably more? Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. We're talking about this and heading into this in our Sunday school class. Not quite there, but we're close. He says, "You were called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." This idea of serving according to the need, serving according to God's gifting, they work hand in hand. And so we spend time in prayer, we spend time learning to love, and we spend time recognizing the need so that we can serve appropriately. When I think about serving and according to the need, I think about serving the way Jesus served, the way he taught. And one of those first things that I recognize is that as we learn to serve immeasurably more, we need to learn how to share immeasurably more. And I know sometimes you come to church and they start talking about sharing, and the first thing you do is you reach for your wallet to protect it because he wants my money. Well, that's one aspect of how God wants us to share, but when we limit it to that, we add up and we look at our bank account and we tend to say almost immediately, regardless of what's there, I don't have enough. And so I'm not part of this sharing. But God desires that we share life. We share what we have. We share what he has gifted us with. Romans 12, verse 13 says, to share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. And we struggle sometimes with what does that look like? Well, it looks like understanding one another. It looks like recognizing the need that actually exists, which isn't always money. Sometimes we use money because it's easier. It gets a little bit messy if we actually have to help according to what's needed. I think of Peter and John, who is met by a man begging, a lame man who that was his livelihood. He would sit and ask people to give him money. And Peter and John comes along and this man does what he does. He begs and he asks, just give me something to help. And the response of Peter and John is, we don't have any money. We don't have any silver and gold. We don't have what you're asking for, but we do have what you need. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And through the power of God, this man was healed, and he had more than what he wanted. He had what he needed. And so we have to pay attention when it comes to this idea of immeasurably more serving and sharing. Paul writes to Timothy as a young minister, and he tells him to command the people to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Learning to share says that I examine what I have, and I recognize it doesn't belong to me, it belongs to God. And when we begin with that motivation and that aspect, I've heard various people talk about how much fun it would be to be a manager in some rich guy's portfolio that you're able to give his money away. And guess what? You are. That rich guy is God. And you are one of his servants as his child, and he has delegated every one of us to be involved in sharing his resources with one another. And so as we think about the immeasurably more that God wants to do through our serving, how does God want us to share? Jesus would teach, and he said, if you have two tunics, give one to someone that doesn't. If you have things that you're not using and that somebody else could benefit from, then be willing to share that. And I know that's a tough message in our American culture where we thrive on accumulation. And it's a really tough message from us borderline hoarders that just like to collect things. But we love and we serve immeasurably more when we learn to share. We also serve immeasurably more when we learn to equip. Again, sometimes giving money, sometimes giving a thing is the easy out when what we ought to be giving, what we ought to be sharing is instruction. It's helping another person be able to stand on their own, to equip them with the things that are necessary. And that the trouble with equipping is it takes time. It takes effort. It takes focus. The old adage that you can give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, but you teach him to fish and he has no money left. Oh, wait, that wasn't quite how it goes. You teach him to fish and he can live for a lifetime. Exactly. And when we begin to invest in helping others help themselves, we equip them, but it's not simply a equipping of the world. We equip them through God's Word to live like Christ. We recognize this is important. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that all Scripture, everything in here, and some of it we read and we don't understand and we think, well, that is because confusing as all get out. Some of it we read and we don't like it and we think, well, that doesn't apply anymore. And it's not that it doesn't apply, it's that we haven't learned how to apply it. Because God says everything in here, all of it is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Why? So that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And we do immeasurably more serving when we learn to be equipped and we learn to equip others by studying and teaching God's Word together. When we surrender fully to Jesus, when we learn and we are equipped by His Word, we find that we do things that we once said were impossible. Take this from the guy that walked out of college because he said, there is no way they can make me stand in front of class and give a speech. And And when we learn to be equipped by God's word, he takes our weaknesses, he takes the things that we say that we can't do, and if they're beneficial to the body, he enables us to do them. And it's not an equipping of the world, it's an equipping of God's word. And so we do immeasurably more serving when we share, when we're equipped and we equip others, but also when we are willing to rebuke and repent. Now, we like half of that better than we like the other half. We're often not so hesitant to rebuke others when we think they're wrong. But to repent? Well, I've never done anything wrong. Well, at least not as bad as what they did. And yet we do immeasurably more in our serving when we're willing to look at ourselves honestly, even as we look at others honestly. And they go hand in hand. Luke 17:3, Jesus says, "So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him." And sometimes we're willing to overlook the sins of others because we don't want our sin pointed out. And God says, as part of the family, as those that live together, we ought to be comfortable. And not publicly, not in a way that shames people. But he's talking about going privately to your brother, your sister, and helping them recognize that what they're doing is not what God would want. And being willing to forgive. So that they also are comfortable coming to you and pointing out what you're doing is not quite what God would want. And so that together, every one of us can be involved in this repenting and rebuking because we need both sides. This isn't something that we have everybody over here that is good at repenting and everybody over here that's good at rebuking. It doesn't work that way. We have to become good at both because we need both. And we do immeasurably more serving when we're willing to be right with one another just as we want to be right with God. And it's hard. And people don't always take it well. And we struggle and we say, I don't want to go through that again. And what we looked at in 1 Peter, Peter says, watch out. Because if you're not willing to do that, if you're constantly at odds with one another because you're not willing to rebuke and repent, you'll end up devouring each other. And so we serve immeasurably more when we're willing to share, when we're willing to equip and be equipped, when we're willing to rebuke and repent. And we're willing and able to serve immeasurably more when we're willing to visit. Sometimes it's what seems to be such a small thing that makes such a big difference. As connected as we are technology-wise, and it's great that we can live stream these services and have these available, just kind of a parenthesis here because I didn't think about it earlier. We've made the decision that we're planning to meet here on Sundays unless the county or city would say there's an emergency and you have to stay off the roads. And so it may be a small group and we'll live stream to those that can't be here. But we realize as we kind of evaluated last Sunday and it was bad and I understand a lot of people couldn't be here, but there were some that I guess came and we weren't open. And so we want to be available for those that can and want to get out when the weather's bad. But we understand that we want you to be safe and we want you to worship. And so we'll live stream those. We did that last week as well with the message. But that idea of just being together. God's desire is that we would learn, that's part of that hospitality. I talked earlier, I said we'd get back to this. Matthew 25 is an incredible passage, a very convicting passage, a very humbling passage for me. Towards the end, beginning at verse 31, we're going to actually start at verse 34 in my reading today. Jesus tells this story about the return of the Son of Man. In other words, he tells a story about himself. And he says, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothing and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Did you notice the criteria that Jesus said was being used? I think sometimes we come to church and we think this ought to read, come, you who are blessed, take your inheritance. Because I kept records and you showed up at church 75% of the Sundays you were living. Well, it doesn't say that, does it? I'm not saying church attendance is unimportant. It doesn't say, come, welcome, enter the kingdom. I've done the accounting and it looked like you gave 9.9%, and I know that wasn't quite what I asked, but you're close, so come on in. It doesn't say that either. Our giving and our stewardship, our responsibility with our finances are important to God, but that's not the criteria he was using. It doesn't say I watched and I listened and you prayed a lot. Prayer is important. But all of those things, our church attendance, our giving, our prayer life, ought to lead us to action. James says faith, our belief in God, the things that we do that say that we believe God, are dead. They're meaningless unless we do something about it. And I think the people that Jesus were talking to here in this story, this crowd, were just as confused as what we sometimes are. Because it wasn't the answer they expected. And so in verse 37, they ask and they answer, this is, Lord, when did we see you? When did we see you hungry and feed you? When were you thirsty and we gave you something to drink? When did you see we see a stranger invite you in or needing clothing and we clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? Their basic answer is, it's nice that you give us credit for all of this, but we never did it. You must be mistaken. We know that if we had seen you in any of these circumstances and we had helped, we would have remembered that. We're not really going to get to the other side because they asked the same question and had the same response. And they said, Jesus, if we had seen you in need, we would have helped you. But the answer of Jesus is this, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of these, the least of my brethren, you did for me. And so it changes the motivation and the heart and our attitude behind what we do for one another. When we visit someone in the hospital, when we visit a shut-in, we're not visiting them alone, we're visiting Jesus. He said so. When we help the sick, when we help the hurting, when we share the things that we have with those who do not have, it's not simply doing it for them, we're doing it for Jesus. He says so. You see, we do immeasurably more in our serving when we learn to visit because we're visiting Jesus. And it changes the way we love. It changes the way we serve. It changes the way we do life. So this morning, we come to a time of decision. It's been my prayer for some time, and it continues to be my prayer that God does immeasurably more than what we can think or ask here at Deer Run. And I know because His Word says so, that's His desire as well. But that requires us to be involved. Not with what Tom says, not with what the elders say by itself, but only based on what we say if it matches God's Word. And I believe the immeasurably more that God wants to do in us and through us is a result of learning to serve immeasurably more. We become the hands and feet of Jesus. We become the voice of Jesus as we represent Him in this community. And this time of decision is a time that is a reflection between us and God's Spirit who dwells within us. It's a time that we have to ask ourselves, not ask our neighbor, where do I need to grow? For some of us, it may just well be all five of those areas. I'm guessing there's room for growth for all of us. But perhaps this morning, as you've heard God's Word and as He's given me opportunity to share that, one of those five jump out at you and says, that's one that God has convicted me in. And some of them are kind of interwoven, but perhaps it's a matter of sharing. God says, you can do so much more if you would loosen your grasp on the things that I've given you. And God says, today is the day to share. Examine with God's Spirit what it is that you have that would be beneficial to someone else. It may be stuff, but it may be life, it may be truth, it may be words. This idea of sharing is more, so much more than just handing out money. Perhaps you're looking at that and you're realizing, I don't even know where to start. Perhaps that immeasurably more serving has to begin with being equipped so that you can equip others. Being one that dives into God's Word and allows it to change you so that you can equip others with the truth of His Word. Perhaps there are people in your life that you're at odds with and you've just ignored it because it's easier. And He's saying it's time to make things right. And you may be on the side that needs to rebuke. You may be on the side that needs to repent. Chances are you're on both sides. And that immeasurably more serving that God wants us to do requires that we become right with Him and with one another. Jesus says if you come to the altar to offer your gift to Him and you realize that you have something, a brother of yours, a sister of yours has something against you, then you should leave your altar, leave your offering before even offering it to God and go make things right and then come back. And we serve more freely when we realize that we have been set free. Perhaps God's saying today is the day to be more deliberate about visiting. Sometimes it's visits that are made by phone calls, by cards, is all that you can do, and that in itself is important. But sometimes those personal visits are what really makes a difference in the life of a person. But your visits with others have to be fueled by God's desire within you to serve. The final point that we hadn't covered yet, because I believe this is the fuel for the other four. And we serve immeasurably more when we learn to encourage one another. You see, those other four things we kind of can do on our own with God's help. But I believe the reason that we struggle so much is because we just need some encouragement. The world tells us that it won't work, it won't help, it's not worth your time, it's not worth your effort, it's not useful. God said this. He says, as you see that day approaching, we began with that, the time, the end is near. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see that day approaching. God wants to do immeasurably more through our serving, and He wants to do that as we encourage one another to do what God has gifted you to do. It's one of the reasons the men get together on Saturday mornings once a month and share a breakfast and fellowship time so that we can encourage one another. One of the reasons the ladies are getting together this coming Saturday to share a breakfast and encourage one another and to make and send cards. So much of this is easier to do when we recognize we're not doing it alone. And so we serve immeasurably more through the encouragement we receive from God and the encouragement we pass on to one another. If you're here this morning, if you're listening online and you've never surrendered to Jesus, that's where it all begins. God wants to do immeasurably more through us, and He needs to do that as we surrender to Him and allow His Spirit to dwell within us. If you've never done that, I'd love to talk with you about that. And in just a moment, we're going to sing a song of decision, and you can meet with me over here in the room to my left, and we can discuss that. But for most of us, I'm guessing we come out on this cold morning and we're here because we have surrendered to Jesus and we want to live for Him and we want Him to be in us. And so the question for us is, what will I do to serve? And what will I do to serve immeasurably more? If you need to talk and pray with somebody about that decision, you're welcome also to come and meet me over here to the room to my left, and we can discuss that and pray about it. But I believe God has called each of us to serve immeasurably more than we can think or imagine, just as He wants to do through us. And so even if it's where you sit and where you stand in a moment, I pray that you make that decision and that you serve this week in a way that's more than what you've ever done before. Would you stand as we sing?